Now, yesterday, Federal Environment Minister Susan Ley announced a once-in-a-decade review of Australia's national environmental laws. In a time where Australia is faced with the growing effects of climate change, a drought that is crippling our nation's farmers, and unprecedented developmental pressures, this review, it would seem, could not come at a better time. Joining us now on The Daily to discuss the importance of this review is Jan McDonald, Professor of Environmental Law at the University of Tasmania. Jan, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program. The current laws that kind of protect and manage things around Australia's environment, in your view, how sufficient are they?
At the moment, we've really got a problem with the legal framework that we've got. Our national laws were put in place 20 years ago, and in that period of time, we've seen consistent declines in land cover, the increases in land clearing. We certainly haven't really got on top of addressing climate change. We've got an increase in the number of species being listed as endangered. Just in the last 5 years, we've had our first species go extinct as a consequence of climate change. So I think that on the data that we have at the moment, you'd have to say that the laws as they're currently drafted just aren't working properly.
So this review, though, Susan Ley has come out and said it would tackle green tape and reduce delays in project approvals. To me, it sounds less like they're interested in the protection of the environment and more interested in the developments that we also talk about, putting pressure on what we currently face.
Certainly the environmental law experts and the science experts that work with our national environmental laws don't identify delay and so-called green tape as a really critical problem with the Act. What they see as problems with the Act are issues relating to the fact that there is a high level of ministerial discretion around whether or not to approve something that's going to have a significant impact on our endangered species or on our precious World Heritage places. And the fact that there's really no clear criteria for the minister to make those decisions. So technically, under the Act as it's currently drafted, it would be possible for the minister to actually approve a project even where it would result in the virtual extinction of a species or the further endangerment of a species, so where we're wiping out really significant sections of critical habitat. And we see that with the Adani coal mine approval, where it's been identified that the highest quality habitat, the black-throated finch, is exactly on the site of the Adani coal mine. What we have instead is a decision to secure a piece of habitat elsewhere that hopefully the black-throated finches decide that they will move to, but it's not the same quality. Scientists don't really understand why the species prefers to go to one area and not the other. But in the meantime, we've made a decision that we're going to approve that project in spite of the really significant impact it's going to have on that species. And that's a real problem, the fact that we don't have any kind of ecological bottom line in the Act that says if this threshold is met, then you must say no to a proposal. At the moment, more than 97% of the development applications that are put to the minister are approved. So whilst this approvals process might slow things down, it's certainly not resulting in fewer proposals actually getting up. And there's been quite a lot of analysis of whether or not it's the actual Act that results in delays. Generally speaking, the delays have been because it has taken the proponent quite a long time to put together their proposal and the documentation, rather than because of delays in the decision-making process itself, which has time limits within the Act.
So the review itself is looking to be obviously an independent review rather than a political document. What are some of the key areas, I guess you'd say, key areas and priorities that perhaps you feel need to be reviewed?
There have been a lot of studies and a lot of people talking about what the number one priorities are. And so we could argue about what's the highest priority, but certainly consistently this concern about making the decision-making process a little bit more independent of the minister's office. So establishing a body that actually makes an independent decision on whether to approve development with clear criteria about thresholds where a decision has to be refused. That's probably the number one issue that is consistently identified. Another key problem with the Act is that at the moment, every new proposal is considered on a case-by-case basis, and there's very little mechanism in the Act for considering the effect of one proposal after another. And we see that really well illustrated with the queue of coal mine proposals that are waiting for evaluation in Queensland in the Galilee Basin. But each one of those is going to be dealt with on its own merits without looking at the impact across that entire region. We need better funding for the department or whatever enforcement agency is given enforcement responsibility under the Act. At the moment, there are very few people in the department that have any kind of monitoring or compliance responsibility. So you can have the best laws in the world, but if no one's there to make sure that they're complied with, that's a real problem. There's also a real need to improve transparency under the Act. It's been very difficult to find out the detail of approval conditions, for example, to find out what the water management program is for the Adani coal mine, for example, or what the biodiversity offset program is for a particular development. These things should be publicly available on a register that anyone can gain access to, but too often those things are held back on grounds of commercial inconfidence. The other really high priority, I think, is that at the moment, climate change and land clearing are not regarded as issues, or are not included in the Act as issues that the minister needs to take account of in order to trigger Commonwealth reviews. We only have a defined list of so-called matters of national environmental significance that the Commonwealth actually concerns itself with. And that includes things like endangered species and national heritage places and world heritage places and the Great Barrier Reef. But it doesn't include activities that are going to have a significant impact on Australia's emissions profile, and it doesn't include native vegetation clearance per se. And they are consistently identified as the big two threats to Australia's biodiversity in the future. So we really need to add those to the scope of the Act in a much clearer way so that any proposal that's going to clear vegetation that is not adequately represented in our reserve system is automatically considered by the Commonwealth decision maker. So those are really the top items, but there are so many other reform priorities, and I'm sure that if you'd interviewed another person, they'd probably come up with a slightly different list.
Just as perhaps as a final point, Jan, and just to paraphrase you slightly, you mentioned there, well, what's the point of good laws if nobody's enforcing them? When we come into this inquiry, what's the point of a good inquiry if there is not the political will to turn them then into laws? Is there, do you think, a real sight on the horizon of these being put into actual action after the inquiry when, as we mentioned there, Susan Ley's made the government's priorities, I would say, fairly clear?
That's a very good question. This is the second 10-yearly review of the Act, And many of the things that I've just talked about were actually recommended in the first review but still haven't been taken up.
Mm.
So a lack of political will to follow through on recommendations is obviously going to be a real problem. I suppose all we can do is continue to argue the case for these reforms and hope that even if they're not picked up at this point in time, some future government will decide to really accept the importance of some of these recommendations. It may well be that this review does identify opportunities for reducing the regulatory burden, reducing the time it takes for some of these approvals to happen. If the panel makes those recommendations alongside some of these other priorities, the government will see them as a valuable package that's worth accepting in as a whole. At the moment, there's only one environmental law expert on a panel of five, and I think that's a problematic. There's no environmental scientist. There's a representative from the agricultural industry and a representative from the mining industry, but only one environmental lawyer on a review of the nation's environmental laws. So time will tell what the panel itself recommends as a result of the review, and obviously what the minister decides to do with the review recommendation.
We live in hope. Jan, thank you very much. Really do appreciate your time.
Great pleasure. Thank you.
That was Jan McDonald, Professor of Environmental Law at the University of Tasmania, speaking to us about a new review of Australia's national environmental laws. Like I say, we live in hope.